And Father, we just pray, Lord, for your word, Lord, just to impart into our hearts today, Lord, that you would change us, Lord, that we want to grow in you, Father. That's why we're here, because we want to grow, Lord. We want to be more and more like Jesus. And so, Father, just we open your word today, and we pray, Lord, that you just speak to us. We ask that in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You got a Bible? You can turn to Psalm this morning, Psalm 127. So now our theme for this year is unashamed. And we've been talking about being unashamed before God, being able to confidently come before God, talking about being unashamed in our life and ministry, and also being unashamed in our witness. I want to talk about particular areas of our life today, and talk about contending with the enemy, and looking at how as a family and as a church and even to the community, how that we can stand in the power of the risen Christ, and to be people that do not face shame. So let's have a look at Psalm 127. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's all right, it's five verses, so that's okay. First five verses, well, the only five verses of Psalm 127. So let's just read this. It's on the screen as well, but let's read it together. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." And that's not now, by the way, so here we go. Verse 3, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." And I want to talk about contending with the enemies in the gate this morning. But first of all, I just want to look at different aspects of this passage. We look at verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds his house, its builders labors in vain." And we all say, if I was to ask every one of us, what is the most important thing in your life? I'm sure without hesitation, everyone would say, well, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. But I just ask yourself, is the reality of that expressed in every single day, the way that we live our lives? Is Jesus really the preeminent thing within your life? And the way that you know that, the way that we know whether Jesus really is the number one thing, is that you just look back across this week, and let's talk about this week, the week just gone. And how did we spend this week? What did we do this week? How did we spend this week? We've got a very limited resource. We've got limited finances and we've got limited time. And I don't think anyone has unlimited finances, and certainly no one has unlimited time. And we know that where the Lord really is the preeminent one in our life by where we spend our time this week. How much time did you give to the Lord this week? Did you spend time with the Lord every day, or was he the Sunday thing? And we'll know that, because as much as we can declare and say, yes, the Lord is number one in my life, we know the reality of that from how we've spent this time this week. Did we pray this week? Did we read the Word of God this week? Did we spend time about the things of God? That's how we know whether really he is the number one in our life. And as much as we may have a sentimental feeling, yes, he's the number one, the reality is the outworking expressing of that in our life. What do we do with our finances? Again, the other finite resource that we have, where is that directed? And that, again, will speak to us about whether the Lord really is number one. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And when we talk about a house, we talk about a family. And I want to talk a little bit about families in just a moment, about having the Lord in the center of our families. And but certainly there's a sense of a house being the church. This is the house of God. And we certainly are a family together. And I want to talk about in a little while just about the enemy, how the enemy might try to come in and enter into your families, or even into a church, how the enemy will try to come in, and how we need to contend with the enemy, and how we need to be ones that actually watch the gates, who stop the entry points where the enemy might come in. But the most important thing for every one of us is for the Lord to be in his rightful place in our lives. The Lord wants to be in the number one position in our life, in our families. And families, how much time do you spend? Do you pray together as a family? Because you might say, the Lord is the Lord of my family. But the reality is, do you pray together as a family? And it's so important. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. It's not just tucking them in when they're little and chucking them in and praying a little prayer with them. When they're growing up, even as adults, if they're in the same household, let's pray together. So important that you do that, that the Lord is really the Lord of your house. He's the Lord of your home. It's the home is made up by people. A house is a building, but a home is made up of people. And if the Lord really is Lord in your home, it's because you pray together. And if you don't pray together, he's not really Lord in your home. You might have a nice little plaque that says, the Lord is the Lord of this house. But is he really? Bring him into everything that you do so that really is the Lord of your home. Spend time, pray together. Because it says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. In other words, you're wasting your time. And who wants to waste their time? So as I said, time is such a finite and limited resource. You've only got one life to live, just one life. And every moment that you have, you'll never have that moment back again. You cannot redeem the time and sense of having that time over. Once you've spent it, it's gone. And it's so important that we don't spend time in vanity, even in our families and even in the church, in our lives, that the Lord really is the number one in our life. And I encourage you, is really the Lord building your house? Is he building your family? Is he building your home? Because if he's not there, then you really are going to be vulnerable to the wiles of the enemy. We want to talk about that in a little while. But first things first, and preeminence of Christ in all things. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. You might work very hard to provide well for your family, but if the things of God aren't sowed into your family, then that's great to eat. We all need to eat and all those things. Provision is important. But we can expend ourselves in vanity, in vain labor. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the church, we can do a whole lot of stuff and keep ourselves very busy, very occupied. But unless the Lord is right there in the middle of stuff, then even there is vain labor. It also talks about the city. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Because the Lord wants to have his place in the home, in the church, and even in the community. And he has to be the number one in our lives. There needs to be a reality on that. And if we don't get this, then as a family and as a church and as a person, you'll find that you are very liable, very open to the wiles of the enemy. And he's going to try to come in. And so we've got to make sure that we are rock solid in that. If you're here this morning and you've never actually given your life to Jesus Christ, you might believe in God and you may know that Jesus died on the cross, but you've never confessed him, never asked him into your life as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to do it today. Let him be in your life. For otherwise, everything else in life is a waste of time. What a sad thing to live your whole life. And it says here, unless the Lord builds it, its builders labor in vain. And so let's not waste one moment. Let's not waste our life. It says, in vain you rise up early and stay at light, toiling for food, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. And there's a place of rest. There's a peace that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is the number one in our own life, number one in our homes, there is a place of rest that we come into. I want to talk a little bit about the passage number verse 3. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward for him. Remember, we're talking about contending with the enemy. There's some things we've got to get in place before we start talking about that. It says, verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. That word warrior there is actually like a mighty hero. Like hands and arrows in the hands of a mighty hero are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, obviously, this is talking physically about children, but it's also talking about more than that. We're going to look at some different aspects about it. But it's talking about, children, natural children, talks about children that are born even to us. And just for parents, just to really appreciate the importance of our youth, our children, how important as a church that we really appreciate and honour. We've got a youth service coming up next Sunday night. And to the importance of that, getting behind our youth and to see how important it says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. When something is a heritage, something that actually is, it's passed on, it's something of great value, it's something that, and it's something when you see children, we see youth, young people, it says they're a heritage. There's something that's been passed on from God. Something that is so important and so precious and so blessed is our children and the youth even within the life of the church. And to begin to understand that they are a heritage from God. But not only are children themselves, our young people, youth, a heritage, but we also need to give them a heritage. And I just want to speak quickly to the parents of children this morning about that, about giving your children a heritage. So many parents, and I've seen so many kids over the years, where nearly 20 years as a pastor and 7 years or 8 years as a youth leader, young adult leader, all those things, and parents that don't actually give their kids a heritage. And giving your kids a heritage is more than just giving them a good home and a good education. It's actually imprinting, implanting, imparting the things of God deep within their hearts and their lives. That is what a heritage is. It's something that is passed on to them. And so that when they're adults, when they mature, they will walk in the ways of God. It's so important. Give your kids a heritage. Don't be ones that some parents say, oh, look, I'm going to let my kids, you know, chop and choose what they do. Oh, no, I don't like going to this event in youth group and I just want to do this and I don't want to do that. Can I just say I've never seen one child, one young person that's parents have given the options about whether they want to go to church or want to go to youth group or want to go to kids club or whatever it is. I've not seen one child that is going on with God that parent gave them that option to pick and choose. I've never seen that. If you know someone like that, please tell me, because I've never seen that. Parents, give them a heritage. Give it to them. Give them a heritage. They're too young to know what their inheritance is. And unless you give them that inheritance, you give them that heritage in their life, they're not going to know that. They're too young to know that. Don't let them pick and choose. And in every situation I've known where the parents saying, oh, I don't want to put pressure on my kids. I don't want to force them along. It's in every case, I've seen the kids actually not walking with God as they get older and growing in life. And so give them a heritage. I mean, plant things into them. Give them things of God and plant them, impregnate those things into their lives. As the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's older, he will walk in it. And that is so true. But parents are saying, oh, I don't want to push my kids. I don't want to push them away. The very thought of doing that and the way that you're doing that is actually the thing that pushes them away, because you never gave them a heritage. So important as parents, let's give our kids a heritage to do that. Give them an heritage, because they have an inheritance. And what we don't understand when it says sons are an heritage from the Lord, we actually have an inheritance in them, and their inheritance is actually found in us. Heritage is something that is very important. What is your spiritual heritage? So important, because where your spiritual heritage is, that's where your inheritance is. That's where you're going to come into the fullness of the things of God. And so it's so important that we give that and understand that, that we realize that we have that heritage in one another. So important for parents to impart values into their kids. You can give them 10,000 rules, but rules are only effective when they're enforced. There's no one there to enforce them. Rule means nothing. But you give them a value. Values are the things that will stay with them every day of our lives. And so it's so important that we see that children as being so, so important and so precious. And even in the life of the church here, honour the youth guys. Get behind them, support them, encourage them. When we have a youth service, come along to the youth services. Get behind them. Why? Because their inheritance is, yeah, it's found here, but your inheritance is linked with the kids. Did you understand that? Do you understand that the success and the growth of the youth and the young adults in the church is part of your inheritance? And as if they don't really reach all their potential, you and us as a church will never reach our inheritance and our potential either. Those things are joined together. There's an inheritance one to another, so value that. It's so important to have right relationship. It says children are a reward. They're a heritage. They're something that is so precious. And to understand that relationship is so important, that we need to have right relationship in our families and within our brothers and sisters. We are all sons of the living God, the scripture says. Even ladies, you're a son. You're a son of the living God, the scripture calls us. Of course, the guy's the bride as well, so that's okay. We live with that. But ladies, you're sons and daughters. We'll put daughters in there, but sons of God, because there's an inheritance, there's a heritage that you have, and to appreciate and value one another. Now, I'm getting to contending with the enemy, but if Christ isn't really number one in our lives, and if relationships aren't right, then you're going to leave the door open for the enemy to come in. And you may watch. You may be very careful watching over the circumstances and all the things, but you watch in vain if relationship isn't right. And so our hearts have to be right one to another. It's so important that we do that. We value, appreciate the value of one another. Appreciate your husband, ladies. Husbands, appreciate your wives. Parents, appreciate your children. Parents, appreciate your kids, appreciate your parents. So important. Brothers and sisters in the church, appreciate what you have, because your inheritance in God is found in one another. It's found in God eternally. We have an inheritance in Christ. We know that it's sealed in heaven. But your fulfillment in what God has for you in your life is found in other people as well. It's a part of that. God made us wanting and needing one another. And so it's so important that we appreciate one another, value that, value our relationships. So we're supposed to be in the one quiver together. God has called us, He's assembled us, He's poured us as one, as arrows, if you like, arrows that He's ready to shoot into His plans and His purpose, what He has for us. But He's assembled us together and to appreciate and honor one another. This, when you don't give a heritage, as 2 Samuel 18:18 says this. This is about Absalom. It says this. During his lifetime, Absalom had taken a pillar and erected it in the king's valley as a monument to himself. Though he fought, I have no sons to carry on the memory of my name. And so if we don't leave a heritage, what we end up is we try to end up making a monument for ourselves. And so what we may do is to say, well, I don't really have any heritage in my kids or in the church or whatever. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to make a lot of money. And some people do that. They'll suddenly, the whole focus suddenly turns away from the kingdom of God and suddenly becomes on business, finance, money, working all of the time. It suddenly becomes, at least I've done something with my life. At least I've got something to show. I've got a little monument. I made some money. But God doesn't want us to be making monuments. He wants us to be changing lives. And it's so important that we all see ourselves in that role. If you're a parent, to do that. But as part of the church here, we have a role to play in changing the lives of our kids, because the inheritance is found in them, even as a church. So honor and support the youth and the children, which is so precious in the church. Now, these things are just background to what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about contending with the enemy, which is the scripture says here. It says, they will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning. But if God isn't really number one in your heart, then you leave yourself open and vulnerable. And if our relationships aren't right, parents with children, children with parents, within the family, within the body of Christ, then the devil can try to come in there. So we always got to make sure that our hearts are right. We're not responsible for the heart of other people. You can't change other people. But we're always responsible for our own hearts, our own attitude, our own responses, and to make sure we keep those right, that the enemy will not try to come in and to wreak havoc. There's nothing worse than when the enemy actually gets in. The enemy he comes to kill and destroy. And there's so much heartache associated where the enemy just has got in there and just causes so much havoc in a situation. And you may have experienced that yourself, where the devil just seems to have come into a situation and just the pain and the anguish that he has caused. And maybe some are really going through that now. And I just pray that God just going to minister you and touch you and just you grab a hold of some things today. And even as we pray with you at the end of today. But I'm talking about not when the enemy is already in there. I want to talk about guarding, to contending with the enemy. Keep him at the gate. Because if you get the enemy in, then you've really got a battle on your hand. And there's a lot of heartache that comes in and causes so much pain to so many people. So how do we guard our families? How do we guard the church? How do we guard our own lives? That we keep the enemy at the gate. That's where we want to fight. We don't want him inside. We don't want him in our family. We don't want him in our own life causing havoc. We don't want him in the church. We don't want him even in the community. How do we actually have an impact keeping the enemy at the gate? We do have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled. Just listen to that word. Be self-controlled. Self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I don't talk about the devil, really, because I'm really talking about Christ and who we are in Christ, our position in Christ. But it's when people don't stand on that authority that they have in Christ, is when we let the devil in somewhere, because he can only get in where we let him in. He's got no authority to get into any part of your life. He's got no authority to get any part of your family. He can't touch the church. The devil has no authority, but he has authority where we open the door to him. When you open the door, he will come through because he's got a right. He says, well, you open the door and I'm coming in, and he'll do what he does. And so if we get things in order, then he cannot harm us. As scripture says, in the evil one, he cannot harm you. But it's only when we open the door. So I want to talk about making sure that we don't have the door, the gates open to the enemy. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And it's interesting when we have a look at the enemy. If you look at verse 5, it says, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, but they will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." So there's something about we have a mutual enemy. And sometimes some of the things, struggles that kids go through are actually our struggles as well, and we need to understand what they're going through. But people that we're looking out for, even in the life of the church, to realize that there is a common enemy. It's their enemy. It's not just my struggle, it's all our struggle. And so that's so important that we guard and look out for one another, protect one another, love one another. All of those things are so important. It's their enemies. It didn't say to them, "Blessed is the man who's got this great arrows because of all these sons that are with them and the heart of God and going there to contend with the enemy at the gates." It says, not his enemy, it's their enemy. It's our enemy. It's in the family. So parents, the struggles of your children are your struggles. You need to contend with them. You need to be right with them. Children, you need to be supporting your parents. If they're going through a difficulty, a hard time, just be there. Encourage them. Help support them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and as in the one house together, support one another. And that's so important that we're united together. Because remember that the two primary weapons of the enemy, he primarily is the deceiver. He's the deceiver. Deception is his main weapon. That's his real power. Only comes out of deception. It's really smoke and mirrors what his power that he has over a believer, at least. He doesn't have any power other than deception. And so when we get sucked in and believe him, that's when he has authority in our lives. He can't harm us. But so he comes against us with deception, and he brings his two main weapons against us. He tries to divide. And if you've let the devil in the door, what will he do? First thing he does is divide. Divide and conquer. And Jesus said, a house divided amongst itself will fall, and the devil will get in there. And he tries to do that. He tries to divide. And once division comes, he brings discouragement. He tries to divide and discouragement. But all of those things are based on deception. And so we've got to make sure that we have such a unity and a love for one another, caring for one another, supporting one another as a family, but even as brothers and sisters in Christ. So important to do that, because the devil's like a roaring lion and he's looking for an entry point. And we need to say, well, look, he's got no entry point in me. As long as my eyes are on Christ and he is number one in my life, he really can't touch me. And as long as my family together are united in Christ and we're together, then there's no entry point for the devil to come in. But it's where we open the doors, we open the gates. And I want to talk to us about, let's guard the gates. Let's not the enemy come in. Let's contend with the enemy at the gates. Let's fight him there, but don't let him in, because once he's in, he will cause so much havoc. Now, God is gracious, and even if the enemy has come in, you've seen, well, in your own life, in your own family, yeah, he's got in there. Well, we have an authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And if he is trying to cause havoc in your own life, I'd like to pray with you later this morning. We just see his work cut off in the name of Jesus Christ. But we need to know how to guard the gates, because that's where we want to contend with the enemy. There's three main entrance points that I really quickly want to talk about this morning, where I see the devil getting into situations, where he'll get into people's lives, where he try to get into families or try to get into churches, where he tries to get in and causes havoc in the community. And you need to be a watchman. It says, unless you're the watchman, it's the Lord's watching with them. And so we need the wisdom of God to help us watch. Otherwise, you watch in vain. You might write 10,000 rules for your kids, but unless you've got wisdom in God and guarding those points in your own life, in your family, in all your relationships, the devil will try to come into those places. So what are those? First area, I think, is our own responses. Guarding your own responses, your own emotions. Remember the scripture said, be self-controlled because of your enemy. Be self-controlled because you've got an enemy that is just waiting for the opportunity. And it's when we're not self-controlled. It's when we allow unruly emotions. All of us are emotional. God made you to be emotional. He didn't make you a robot. Praise God, you're not a robot. We've got emotions. We feel. We feel deeply. We know how to love, but yet we know how to hurt. We feel things deeply. We know how to be happy. We know how to be sad. We know how to get upset. And all of those things are a part of emotions that God has given us. But when they're unruly emotions, when they're out of control, when they're lacking self-control, then the devil will have an entrance point in. Scripture tells us, it says in Ephesians 4:27, it says in verse 26, it says, in your anger do not sin and do not give the devil a foothold. Because anger is an entry point for the devil. It's one of the things that get in there, and all unruly emotions where there's unforgiveness, where there's reactionary responses, where you're very easy, you've got a short fuse, or you easily will explode. And the devil is just waiting for that. He is waiting for that because that is an entry point, one of the entry points when we are not self-controlled, when we allow our emotions to run riot with us. The devil is waiting just to come in there. When we allow unforgiveness, if there's a bitterness in our heart or unforgiveness in relationships, whether it's within families, whether it's with brothers and sisters, whether it's even within people of the community, the devil is looking for that because that's an entry point. Unforgiveness is an entry point for him. And so we've got to make sure that we guard that gate and that we stand at that gate and we make sure that we have self-control and don't explode in anger. We need to deal with that because the devil's waiting for that little entry point. Excuse me, I see families. Why is families get blown apart? It's because they've not guarded that gate. They haven't guarded that. And so they allow things to get all emotional, emotions spewing out everywhere. And things are said that shouldn't be said. Then things are done that shouldn't be done. And the devil's just, he's in there like a shot. You give him an inch, he takes a mile, and he'll come in and try to divide. Guard that gate of your emotions. Guard that gate of your responses, how you respond. Don't give the devil a foothold. Because once he's got a foothold, he will take that territory and he'll try to bring havoc. Guard that gate. You're going to contend with the enemy at the gate. So be self-controlled. Don't let him through that in your family, the way that you deal with things. Don't tolerate unforgiveness in your own heart. Don't tolerate unforgiveness within your own family relationships. You cannot hold on to that because you're creating an entry point for the devil in your own life and your family. He's got no authority unless you give it to him. You open the door, he comes in. You don't open the door, he cannot come in. And so guard your emotions. It's so important. Don't allow those things because he's waiting for that opportunity. It's one of the gates that you need to guard. Watch your reactions. Watch your responses. Because too often, as a pastor, you're in there and you're cleaning up because the door's been opened and the devil's in there. And the thief who comes to kill and to steal and destroy, he's in there killing, he's destroying, and he's stealing. Now, we have an authority in God, and when we resist the devil, he must flee. But I'm just saying, let's not open the door. Don't open the door. Don't allow those things. Unresolved issues just to fester away. Don't allow those emotions just to burst out in anger and shouting and whatever else it is, holding on to things, unforgiveness, because that's an open door. You're saying, devil, come on in. You've got neon lights showing. When we're angry and you're raising your voice in anger, you're actually putting a neon light saying, come on in, door's open. And boom, he'll come in and he'll cause. So we've got to watch that, guard it, guard it, guard that gate. Contend with the enemy at the gate because we don't want to be put to shame. Guard, contend with the enemy at the gate. Don't wait until he's inside and all hell breaks loose, almost quite literally, before you start to realize, oh, I need to do something. Put some things in place. Let the Lord build your house. Have him as number one. Appreciate the value of one another, the gift that we are to one another as a family, as a church. Honor and appreciate. Guard the gate. The other gate, another gate, is the area of compromise. And compromise is a very subtle thing. It's not as like one minute I'm going here, full on in the things of God, and the next minute, all of a sudden, bang, I find myself, I'm over here. And wow, how did I get? I was over there, full on in the things of God, and now how did I find myself here? Well, the way you get from there into the things of God, into this place where you're not going on with God and things aren't, God isn't really been honored in your life and those things, the distance in between is that place of compromise. And it just starts with a little compromise. As parents, it's easy to compromise. All the other kids at school, they're allowed to watch M-rated films. And so think, well, and the parents, they get all sorts of pressure. So they'll let their kids watch any sort of stuff. But that's a little entry point where the devil will come in when we start to compromise with things in our life. Don't compromise. They're little subtle things. Oh, look, it doesn't really matter. It's just a little sin. It's just a little thing. It doesn't really matter if I'm not really, you know, really fully involved. It doesn't really matter if I'm not really giving. It doesn't really matter. It's just a little sin. It doesn't really matter. And these little bits of compromise, all of a sudden we find that we're here and the door's wide open. And we suddenly got this almighty battle on our hands. What is going on? What is happening? Struggling with so many deep things deep within ourselves, self-doubts, insecurity, intimidations, a whole lot of things. And what happened is that the door, we didn't just kick it open one day, we slowly opened it just a little bit, just a little bit, just a tiny little crack. And then we just opened it just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit. And eventually the door is wide open and foomph, all of a sudden we got this big thing. Let's contend with the enemy at the gate. Don't compromise in areas of sin. It says in Genesis 4:7, it says sin is crouching at the door. Devil's waiting for you to compromise on the things of God. He's waiting. Sin is crouching at the door, crouching, ready to spring like a trap. You open the door, pa-ting, he's in there. He's waiting. So don't compromise and don't think, oh, it's just a little sin. It doesn't really matter. Every time we compromise, the door gets opened a little bit more. And then we just give invitation. And we wonder, why does the devil seem to be having so much sway in our lives? Don't compromise on the things of God. Make sure that you don't allow those things. There's no such thing as a little sin. Murder is just a bad sin as whatever you might think is a small sin. It's a little white lie. No such thing as a white lie. They're all coloured by the devil, his language. It's whatever it is. It's all the same. And all of those things opening the door. Don't allow sin in your life. Don't tolerate it. When you fall, and we all fall in many ways, the Scripture says. The Scripture says, if you think you're without sin, you're kidding yourself. In fact, more than that, it says you're a liar, it tells us in 1 John. It says you're a liar if you think you never sin. But if you do sin, don't bring it to God and deal with it. But don't allow sin in your life because it's in a little open door. And then you wonder why. What's going on? Why is it so hard? Well, you opened the door and now you're surprised. Don't open the door because he cannot get through the door. That door is impenetrable by the blood of Jesus Christ. That door, that bloodline cannot be crossed. It cannot come through what Jesus Christ has done. But if you open the door, sin is crouching at the door ready to come. Don't open the door. Contend with the enemy at the gates. Have the Lord number one in your life. Make sure your relationships are well and you'll find that you're able to stop the enemy coming in and doing what he wants to do. He has no authority in your family. He has no authority in your life. Don't let him in the door of your life. The other area is in the whole area of our thinking. And I think our thought life is another area where the devil will try to come in through our thinking. And it's when we have an undisciplined mind, a mind that just is allowed to wander, but a mind that is acceptable, susceptible to listening to what the devil says. Remember, he is the father of all lies. And he's the one that will come and try to whisper, you're useless, you're hopeless, you all these little things that try to intimidate you, all of these little things. And then when we listen to those things, and then our mind switches in. And some people will do that. They've got like a gear that the brain or mind gets stuck into. They get stuck in it. Or a thought pattern that just seems to keep coming back. And when we allow ourselves to be locked in wrong thinking patterns, then eventually that'll become an open door where the devil will come in. Because if you're someone who is always down on yourself, you never give yourself a break. You're always feeling hopeless and inferior. And if you just keep listening to that and feeling that, well, then that'll open the door to the devil to come into your life. And he will intimidate you that in such a way that you would just be too frightened to do anything. He'll come in there. It's when we get into the thought patterns. We've really got to guard our mind. Because that is a major gate where the enemy will try to come in. And once the enemy gets into your thought life, whether he gets into your thought life or he tries to bring lustful thoughts into your life, or whether it's defeatist thoughts that he brings into your life, whether it's other areas where your mind is just not working in a godly way, the door is open and he'll come through that gate. And so our mind, we've got to discipline our mind. It's so important that we do that we guard our mind. Guard your thoughts. If, particularly women, I want to say something to all the ladies here. Ladies, your brains seem to work so much faster than men. And men aren't necessarily happy with me saying that. But the downside of that is a woman's mind can go into overdrive. They've got an overdrive that men don't have. Men are just going, what? What? Where? What? A woman's brain's in overdrive, and once it gets to a certain level, you can get caught on a thought pattern, a wrong thought pattern, and it grows and it multiplies and it multiplies. And you try to tell your husband about it, he's going, wow, what are you talking about? Because he hasn't necessarily got that gear, and you're very perceptive. Women can be very perceptive. Part of that gear, if you like, I think it's a part of the perception. Women just have that intuition or whatever, very perceptive about things, emotionally, and can pick up things. Guys are just, what? What do you mean? I don't know. But the downside of that is that when that area, you allow that just to get out of control, you start to worry. When you give way to fear, 1 Peter 3, when Peter says to women, he says, don't give way to fear. What is he picking on the ladies for? Well, he's not. He's just acknowledging that there is that tendency. They can give way to fear. Guard your thoughts, ladies. So important. Fellowship is so important for ladies. To talk things through is so important. Husbands, listen to your wives. Talk to them, because otherwise, if you don't do that, that other gear. Ladies, and if you're not, you don't have a husband in your circumstances, then you need to make sure that you're fellowshipping with godly women, godly ladies that you can talk to and express how you're feeling and talk those things over. Otherwise, that gear will hit into that high gear and it's going to get in the spiral and in that, and then the door is suddenly open. And all of a sudden, you find that you were going through a difficulty. You're going through a difficulty to feeling depressed. Depression's not a logical thing. It's not an irrational thing. It's a totally irrational thing. But the door can be opened in that. I'm not talking about chemical problems. I'm talking about emotionally problems that you can open the door. So you need to be talking, ladies. You need to confide on a sister that you can trust and need to talk those things. But if you've got a husband, you need to listen to your wife. You need to help them with that. Because otherwise, if you don't, that door can come into thinking. Guys, we have to mind, we have to guard against areas of lust and anger and all of those type of things. We've got to make sure that we contend with the enemy at the gate. Don't let the enemy into your life in any of those areas. It's so important that we don't do that. And so it's self-control is really important, because the enemy cannot touch us unless we allow him in. And maybe if you're in a situation now, you might be thinking, wow, I've let the enemy in. I didn't mean to do that. Well, that's okay. We can deal with that. We still have authority over the enemy. I'd rather deal with the enemy on the outside than let the enemy get within. But if the enemy's there, then we will stand in the power and the authority of the risen Christ, and we will come against with the full authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to see every work of the enemy cast down and destroyed. We have that authority, and if your number one with the Lord is true, then you have a spiritual authority even over your own life and your own family to stand and to cut off every work of the enemy. Maybe some of you need to do that today. Maybe some of you need to make a stand, because maybe you've opened those doors. You've just your own emotional responses. You've allowed them to get out of control, and you haven't had self-control. You've been reactive, and therefore you've opened the door. Or maybe there's areas of compromise. It's just a little sin. Doesn't really matter. And yet you've opened the door. And maybe God's saying, shut that door today. Shut the gate. Don't let him in. He can't touch you. He cannot harm you unless you open the door. Cut it off. Shut it off. Stop it today. Shut the door. Don't do that. Areas of compromise. Don't allow him in. And if you're thinking, you know that your thinking gets caught on these little paths. And once you get on this wrong path, you know it just seems to going down. And it just, well, let's take every thought captive under Jesus Christ. When the scripture says about we take every thought captive, we're demolishing strongholds. It's talking about demolishing strongholds of thinking, not about spiritual warfare. It's strongholds that are built up in our thinking, in our minds. And it says that we have authority to break down those strongholds. And so in the thinking area, you just find that your thoughts run away with you. You worry about stuff. You worry about things. Everything you're just worried about, and you're just awake. It says, and we read the scripture, he grants sleep to those he loves. But maybe the reality for you is I don't sleep. I'm lying in bed at night and I'm just thinking all the time. My brain just doesn't want to stop, and it's thinking about this and that, and I'm worried. Well, let's cut that off today. He grants sleep to those he loves. And just shut that door off. If you're tuning in, your ears opening, listening to what the devil said, he's ready there to have his little whispers already. Let's shut off every door that the enemy can come in. Deuteronomy 11. I just want to read verses 18, beginning of 18 and verse 20. It's quite a long passage, but those verses will come up on the screen. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. So first of all, make sure that the Lord is preeminent, that he is number one in your life and in your home. Make him number one in your home. Pray as a family. Doesn't matter how old your kids are. Doesn't matter if your kids are adults. Pray together as a family. Pray for them. Of course you do, and don't stop praying for them. So important. Fix these words of mine in your heart. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that the days, your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give them and their forefathers. It's talking about them coming into their inheritance. It's talking about you coming into your inheritance. Remember, children are a heritage from the Lord. Our destinies are linked together. The inheritance that we find is found together. And it says in this passage about the things of God, it says, make sure, put them on your mind. Put them over your mind, the Word of God. So you're not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. You're not going to have compromise in your heart. Put it over your mind, over your heart, the Word of God. Build it into your life. It says, put it on the door frame of your house, on the gates. Let the Word of God take preeminence in your life, in your household, in your family, in the life of the church. And we're bringing that. Our heart is to bring that even into the community. And so that the Word of God is sown into our lives. Build the Word of God into your own life, first of all. And build the Word of God into your children. Don't neglect that. Pray together, spend time. But certainly, let's cut off every entry point of the enemy. Put the Word of God upon your life. Do you really get hold of the Word of God and apply it? Because some people are really good with their devotions. They open up and they might read their chapter, and you might be doing our, we're reading through the Bible together with our Grow Daily. But do you actually apply the Word of God? Because you can read the Bible like you read anything, like you read a newspaper, and you've read it, fantastic, and not have applied it. Apply it, apply the Word of God, because you put it on the doorpost, on the gates, and you prevent the enemy coming in when the Word of God is alive and active in our hearts. Build it into your life. Don't allow the enemy in. As I said, I see the heartache and the trauma of where the gates haven't been kept, where the devil's got in there. Now, sometimes it's not even to do with our fault. Sometimes there are other circumstances. But on what depends upon us, let's guard the gates. Guard them in your own life, your own responses, the way that you deal with things, self-control. Don't allow compromise in your life. It's just a little thing. It doesn't really matter. It's not hurting anybody. The biggest lie of all, the devil will say, it's not hurting anybody. It is. It's killing you. It's hurting you. You're the anybody. Might not be hurting anyone else, but it's robbing you of your life. Little bits of sin, it's not really hurting anyone. It is. It's killing you. It's robbing you. It's stealing something of God from you. Don't allow compromise in any area of our life and our thinking. Make sure we keep our thinking right, our thinking pure in the things of God. And then it says that if we're able to guard the gates, it's where we contend with the enemy. It says, there we will not be put to shame. We won't be put to shame. The enemy won't be able to come in and cause the heartache and the havoc that he does. If we guard the gates, I just encourage you to do that, that we just honor God. Otherwise, we can do everything else in vain. You'll be working really hard, doing a whole lot of really good stuff, and it's all in vain, the scripture says. But if we have the Lord first, we have the right relationship, we value one another, we guard our children, guard the youth. If you're not even a parent in the church, you're a grandparent or whatever, have a role in guarding the youth and the children in the church, the precious inheritance that we have in them, that they have in us together, and in our own families, to guard that. Guard it also in one another. Get our thinking straight. Get our thinking right. It's so important that we do that. And it says in Micah 7, verses 9 and 10, it says, he will bring them out into light. I will see his righteousness. In fact, it actually says there, beginning of that passage, it talks about, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. And maybe that's a word for some people here today. You feel like, yeah, he's got in. I don't know where he came in. But man, I am really feeling it now. I don't know which door it was. I don't know which gate. But he's got in and he's causing havoc in my life. And it's like the enemy's gloating over you and your circumstance. I want to pray with you tonight that the scripture says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. And let that be God's word to you today. I will rise. I will rise. It doesn't matter whatever the mess is. I'm going to stand in the victory of the risen Christ, so we're going to see deliverance in the circumstances that I'm in. And it says, my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. We're not the ones that have been made. We're to be unashamed. The enemy is the one that shame is his portion. Shame is for him. It's not for us. So I want to pray for us all to stand to our feet. But I want to pray with us this morning. Maybe if someone, maybe the gates have been open and the enemy's coming. I want to pray with you today. You just really felt, look, this is wreaking havoc in my family. I want to pray. But if you're struggling in some of those areas in your thinking, it just seems to go crazy, or your own responses, there's unforgiveness, there's relationships that you've not brought right, and you're holding on to that, bring it right and say, God, forgive me for that. So I don't want to leave that door in. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to have bad reactions, Lord. I want to have that dealt with in you. And maybe there are those that have really struggled and just allowed compromise. Just a little sin, not hurting anybody. Bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have dealt with that. Lord, I want to rise into the inheritance that I have in you. And I'm not letting anything rob that in me. So, Father, as we come before you now, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you care about us, that you love us so much, that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ in their life, Lord, is just open to an open field the enemy has in their life. Father, I pray, Lord, that they'll come this day. If anyone hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ, they will come this day and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want every gate covered. I don't want the enemy having any sway in my life. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to have him in my life. I want to have the promise of eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you just stir their heart this day. Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are really struggling today, because it looks like the enemy's got in somewhere. And Father, we're not here to look at blaming and the cause of that, Father. We're here to remedy that, Father, and see the hand of the enemy taken off, Lord, to get him out of that situation in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, for any of those in circumstances like that, Lord, I pray, even as they come, Lord, they're going to say, that, Lord, I will rise, Lord. We're going to see victory in my household, victory in my family, victory in my own life, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, for where there's been compromise or people who say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to shut the door. I'm shutting the door to compromise, Father. I pray, Lord, if anyone needs to come forward today, Father, even as they do, Lord, that that door will be shut in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that struggle with thinking, Father, I pray, Lord, that just, Lord, thoughts will come into line this day, Lord, alignment with your word, Father. Lord, that your word, Lord, will be applied to every mind, every heart this day. And Father, we will stand in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, Lord, that we're going to stand strong, every family strong, Father, this church strong, and Lord, that we'll take that out even into touch our community, Father, even into the city. So Father, we just thank you now. Lord, we just thank you for your grace upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.